hello and welcome to the place-by-place fishing report featuring Mr. Robert Lukowitz and Captain Josh Olive. We hope you are having a lovely day, and it's about to get better. Robert, what do we got going on this week?
Trying to sound like an automated service there? Jesus.
That's my AI voice.
I guess.
I'm still working on it.
Nice.
We'll get there.
Yeah, it'll be easy.
So, how's fishing been out there?
Good to great, depending on who you talk to.
Despite the fact that all we have are peewee shrimp?
It's pretty much getting there. It's getting there quickly.
How are we even going to fish with just these little peewee shrimps?
Hey.
Come on.
It's what the fish are used to. It's matching the hatch.
I guess. You know, I think it's worth the discussion of why you guys haven't taken the time to consider the needs of your customers and order in some bigger shrimp. Mm-hmm. You know, and make sure that you're getting enough that you don't run out by the end of the day. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, sometimes we're only halfway through the day and you come in to get your shrimp and there's no shrimp. What's going on? And if there are shrimp, all that's left is little teeny tiny half a pinky sized shrimp. What are you guys doing? Don't you even know how to run a business here, Robert? What's happening?
Not at all. I have no idea how to run a business. Not a clue on how to order shrimp.
Especially not a tackle shop. You wouldn't have the first clue how to do that.
No idea.
How long have you been the manager here?
How long have I been working here? 26 years.
Yeah. And yet, somehow, in that quarter of a century, you haven't figured out that people need shrimp to go fishing.
Yeah.
Come on, Robert.
Yeah, I don't know.
Get with it.
I suck at my job. It's almost like a Union County employee.
So since we know that that's not the reason, what's the reason, Robert? What's going on here? Explain it. Help us understand.
It's a normal Mother Nature thing that happens every full moon in July. And I know we're not quite into the full moon of July, but we're close to it. So it always happens normally it happens within a week before the full moon. But this year we're just a little early with some of it, so we're coming up with shortages. Our shrimp are still big, but they're getting less and less because your bigger shrimp start to migrate offshore out into deeper water. And your smaller shrimp stay, and some of your other small species of shrimp stay in the shallower waters and the hot water and all the fresh water. And we can't catch bait shrimp in more than about 15 feet of water. 18 feet is by far the max depth that they can catch them at, because if not, they get, for lack of better terms, the bends and die.
I call it squidgy. They get squidgy.
Yeah. Most people understand the bends, so it's just easier.
I get it, but I prefer the term squidgy because that's how they feel, and that's how they die.
Yeah.
They die of squidginess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, either way, they can't catch live bait shrimp in deeper water. So your commercial shrimp boats are out there catching shrimp in 20 to 120 feet of water without any problems.
And let me tell you, they are doing fantastically out there right now,
mm-hmm.
coming up with lots of big ones. And why is that? Because all the big ones have mostly left the inshore waters and moved out into the Gulf.
Yep.
So when we hit this point where suddenly the shrimp run in the Gulf is on, that means that we are either rapidly heading towards or rapidly diving into peewee season.
Yep.
And how do we then resolve this situation? What are we going to do when all we have are small shrimp or, worse yet, no shrimp available?
Well, multiple things. I mean, number one, it's hot water this time of year, so the fish are lethargic. They aren't as aggressive anyway. They also change their feeding habits. You know, you get a lot of bait fish moving this time of year. You also got the fish are more lethargic and aren't as aggressive, so they prefer to be lazy and they like to pick up stuff off the bottom. So this is the time of year where you can use cut bait, frozen shrimp. Your water gets dark, so the fish are relying more on scent and vibration than they are sight. So dead bait again and frozen bait or artificials all work extremely well this time of year.
And you can kind of split the difference there by taking soft plastic baits and heavily scenting them. And when I say heavily scenting, I mean heavily scenting. I marinate all of my soft plastics in Procure, which is a good gel scent. I like the blue crab or the cheddar crab because I don't like the smell of most of the rest of them when it gets on my fingers. But sniff them. See how you feel about them, because the fish don't really care. The fish are happy to eat the shrimp one. They're happy to eat the ladyfish or the mullet, even the one they call butt juice. They all work fine. It's just a matter of finding one that you can tolerate. And then soak those soft plastics in that stuff. And if you want to add a little bit more smell to it, then okay, smear a little bit of Procure on the outside of it. Or you can add other scents to it. You can put a little bit of menhaden oil on there, and that soaks into most soft plastics pretty well too. So you have all the scent that's involved. You can fish those things just like you can a dead bait. The fish will find them, track down the scent of as it's wafting back towards them, and eat the thing just like a piece of cut bait. Or you can actually work it. You can get that tail thumping, and that produces a little bit of sound. If you want more sound, put it on a Rockport Rattler jig head. Now it makes that crunching, kind of digging into sand noise that they associate with crabs and shrimp, which are always appealing to fish that live in shallow water and eat a lot of that type of food. And then it's got all the smell that goes along with it. It makes it much easier to actually find it in that dark water, and it's much more appealing to those fish to want to eat it when it has all that scent coming off of it. So trick them any way you can, but the worst solution is to just take four or five shrimp and put them on your standard giant size shrimp hook that you use and throw that out there.
Right.
See what you catch.
And this lasts anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. Every year is different.
Yeah.
So, because you just got to deal with it, but it's been Mother Nature forever.
Most of the time, you kind of need to wait for the small shrimp that are still out there on the flats to grow up. Some of the shrimp that run out into the Gulf come back in. Most of them do not.
Right. So it's just a normal thing.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
If you want to blame somebody, I mean, I guess you can blame a tackle shop employee if you want to. They have big shoulders. Most of them have learned not to cry. But, you know, really, you should be blaming your deity of choice, if you have one, because that's where the fault lies. This system was not set up by the tackle shop staff. It was set up by nature, or whatever creator god you happen to believe in.
Right.
So, let's put the blame where the blame belongs, and don't blame your tackle shop employees. Maintain good relationships with them, because they're the ones who know where the fish are. For example, Harbor Heights and upriver along with Shell Creek. Robert.
Got nothing.
Okay. Not off to a good start, but that's all right. Dars Park Boat Ramp, I-75 Bridges area.
Nothing.
Okay. U.S. 41 Bridges. Do we have something there?
Something.
Okay, good. U.S. 41 Bridges, Robert.
A mangrove snapper. Black drum. Been a lot of little snook at night down there. A couple bull sharks. And the jacks have been coming through there periodically because there's been a mix of thread fins and white bait showing up there off and on throughout the morning, afternoon, and evening.
Okay.
So that's been kind of leading up to them. I even had one guy catch two Spanish mackerel off there the other day.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah, there's definitely some fish around. But the rains are starting to move stuff a lot.
Yeah.
The water's pretty clear behind our house, but
It changes. Freshwater changes things.
Yeah, and there's been some huge tides this week, like enormous tides this week. Every evening, afternoon, the tides have been at the bottom of the dock.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty impressive.
You're moving a lot of water through here.
Yet enough? Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Dave.
Let's see what we've got for the Lashley Seawall.
Nothing.
Yeah, imagine that. Well, we would talk about the Bayshore and Port Charlotte Beach piers, but those don't exist, so let's move on to Spring Lake Park.
Some plenty of catfish and a few mangrove snapper and a couple of small snook. People are seeing some juvenile tarpon rolling around, but nobody's hooked any. And that's been more in the evening time and night time.
Okay.
You know, those canals are warming up, so it's getting really wonky. Although the crap we saw last night was pretty stupid.
Okay, well, let's talk about that in the next section, which is the Port Charlotte Salt and Brackish Canals.
So two nights ago, we were sitting out there watching the sunset, of course, making a few casts, but we don't have, we've had a lot of rain, but the rivers, usually I see this when the water's darker.
Mm-hmm.
The little menhaden start to come out at sunset.
Okay.
They're swimming around in their little schools. Well, they've been doing it off and on for like the last 5 days, but night before last, they're doing it really good. And a bunch of little peanut snook were blowing up on them. Customer comes in yesterday, and we couldn't catch anything on a shrimp to save our butt. Customer comes in yesterday. Christina sold him a couple baits the day before. He caught some and they are manhaden because he said he caught a couple of them in his cast net and started catching little snook. He's over here off of Gardner. He said they were just blowing up on those, eating those. Last night we get home, manhaden are swarming all over the place. Still can't catch anything. I take that back. I think she caught two little guys, like 14, 15 inches. It got dark. I think it was 9:30 or 10 o'clock when we walked back out there to check on things, and it's just, they were popping.
Okay.
All little guys. I'm sitting on the dock watching. She walks over to the corner by the bridge because she likes to shine her flashlight and see the snook sitting there. She hit him with the light, and I swear you would have thought it was a school of mullet during row season.
Okay.
I've never, ever seen this in my life. They all pushed from the right to the left along the shadow line and spooked, and it was all snook. She said if there was 100, there was maybe 200. I don't know. We wait about 2 minutes, walk back over there. She shines a light. There's easily 100 snook. I mean, and there ain't anything bigger than 24 inches sitting there, but there's 100 snook. As soon as you hit them with the light, they just sink right back down. But when she first hit them with that light, it was the, I've never, ever seen that before back there, except for with schools of mullet.
Wow.
It was the craziest thing. And they were popping on all the little manhaden. Which, where do they go the rest of the year? Because you never see them any other time. You almost never even hear of anyone accidentally cast netting them.
Menhaden are just not a thing that we really have here in numbers like that.
Yeah, but so. It's just weird because even no matter what, any other time of year, you just don't hear of people accidentally cast netting them or anything like that when they're out there throwing the net. It's almost seldom.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem to happen pretty infrequently, but I will tell you that menhaden, of all of our bait fish that we have out there, menhaden are probably the most vegetarian in nature. So when you have that fresh water that pushes nutrients off the land and gets that algae starting to grow, then it would make sense that menhaden would be the ones who would want to take advantage of that, because they don't care too much for copepods or shrimp larvae or stuff like that. They don't like fish roe. They like the algae that starts to grow. So it would make sense.
Yeah.
In that way. But yeah, I don't know where they go the rest of the time. Let's tag a few.
Yeah.
Put some satellite tags on them and see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a bunch because, you know, most of them are going to get eaten by the snook.
Most of them, the fatality rate's going to be like 100% when you pull them out of the water just to try to get a tag in them.
Yeah, pretty close. Also, the tag probably weighs 3 or 4 times what the fish does.
Yeah.
So, you know, this might not be the best plan I've ever had.
No.
But, okay, well then what we'll do is we'll put tiny little floats on them.
Follow them around all the time.
Yeah. You know, the old redfish tournament trick,
yeah,
where I can't find the school of redfish, I don't know where they went. Okay, we'll just stick a float on a hook and stick that in their mouth,
mm-hmm,
and then we can follow them around.
Yeah.
It'll work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope I didn't give away anybody's redfish tournament secret.
Wow.
Oh, no. Whoops.
Never would have thought of something like that.
Loose
That's
lips
so
sinking
weird.
Ships over here. Crap.
Wow.
I take it back. You didn't hear it. I'll unrecord it. Anything else going on in the canals other than some menhaden near the mouths and snook eating them up?
Black drum. And that's it.
Okay. And as that water warms up, we're having some fish leaving, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised that there was that many snook around. I mean, it floored me. I've never seen that many snook ever back
there. Well, but think where you are, too. You're there at the mouth. As the water's warming up, it's warming progressively more as you get deeper into the canal system.
But I've
and it's
lived
also
there 20-something years.
I'm not saying that it's normal. I'm just saying that if you think about
the
placement,
it's
not hugely surprising.
No.
If it's going to happen, that's where I'd expect it to happen,
right,
is all I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm not amazed by the occurrence. I am. Don't take that away from what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jeez.
I just want to know if it's happening at the other bridges down the road.
Well,
probably so.
Go look.
Because that guy's up here on Gardner and was having the same effect, so.
I feel it's probably likely.
Just kind of cool.
All right. Let's talk about the El Hobin Bridge. What's going on down there?
I have got no reports this week from there.
No reports from El Jabin. Okay, well then we'll just leave it that way.
I had a customer going there yesterday, but I have no idea.
And if you didn't get any reports there, you probably don't have any from the Myakka River from the bridge down to Marker 8.
No, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
For the first time in 2 months. Lay it on me.
Guy came out and was fishing right there at the mouth of Tippy Canoe and the north end of the Myakka Cutoff. Or west end, whatever you want to call it.
Yes, I do want to call it that.
Yeah, he got a couple of redfish, a couple of short snook, several trout, one legal size. He said it was like 15 and a half. He saw a couple of small sharks. He saw what he thought was one bigger shark, but not 100% sure because it was a little far away, but he never saw it come up like flipper.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And an alligator.
That's not a fish, so I'm not putting it in the report.
Well, I know, but that's my report for that area right now.
Okay. I like it.
And he was throwing all paddle tails. He was doing no shrimp. He was just strictly artificial, and it had a couple hours to kill.
Okay. Do you think anybody should worry about the alligators in there?
No. Unless you're going to hang out there all night long in the water.
No. I only ask because, you know, a lot of people get freaked out about alligators. And especially people who moved here from somewhere else and they come here and they don't really fish freshwater, they only fish saltwater. They don't really have the opportunity to interact with alligators. Mm-hmm. So they may just have, you know, what they've seen on TV, what they've heard from other people, what they think they know about alligators, which is probably mostly wrong.
Yeah.
And what they've seen. And do you remember that old movie, Lake Placid?
Mm-hmm.
With the giant alligator? With mm-hmm. the Yeah, that stuff.
Never saw it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So.
The only thing that would interest me to watch that would be Betty White.
Okay.
Just because she's hilarious, no matter what.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. As a native Floridian who's fished a lot of freshwater, I don't worry too much about alligators. Mm-mm. Unless they're alligators that somebody has fed, which you can tell real quick because they come right up to you and basically, like a puppy begging for a biscuit, ask to be fed. And in that case, I'm concerned about them. Those alligators I want to get away from. But an alligator that doesn't approach me, I don't worry about him at all.
All right.
Let's talk about the South Gulf Cove canals.
Let's not.
Okay. All right. Fine. Then let's talk about the West Wall.
That's been quiet. I got one report down there.
Mm.
Redfish. A couple of snook. He saw a couple of juvenile tarpon. And a couple of small bull sharks. And he caught one bonnet head shark. But that was it for my reports down there. This whole week's been very wonky.
You know why?
The rains have been part of it. The wind has been part of it. The super, super high tides have been really funky.
And?
It's a new moon.
You haven't been ordering enough shrimp.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Put the blame where it belongs, Robert. Come sure, on. Thanks. Quit trying to pass it off on all this natural occurrences stuff. This is your fault.
Thanks.
The Cape Hayes Bar. Do we have any reports from the Cape Hayes Bar, Robert?
No.
Okay, then we'll move on. Okay. Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, do we have anything there?
Redfish.
Okay, good.
Redfish, and several more redfish.
Oyster bars, mangroves?
Both. Guys are seeing some snook, but they're catching a few little ones. But the one guy was just excited about, I think he caught like 12 redfish between the two, between going back and forth between bull and turtle. He said he got one that was 29 and a half inches. and several of those fish were on topwaters.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good thing.
It is.
Hold on a second here. I gotta look for a thing, see if it applies or not.
The topwater bite's been pretty decent.
Let's see here now. Somebody sent me a thing. I'm trying to remember if it's a... Ah, yes. So this is a fishing report, mostly. This was texted to me yesterday. Josh, I'm in your fishing class with my wife and wanted to let you know that I put your last class info into practice today and hooked three of the biggest reds in Turtle Bay I've ever caught. I've been fishing Florida for over 20 years, but took your class anyway for that one bit of information that I didn't know. It was well worth it, and I wanted to thank you for the excellent information you give at this class. From J.T. Fitzgerald.
Nice.
So, that's a fishing report. It's also me humble bragging a little bit about, you know, my class and the information that I get out there. Hey, listen, I'm just reading what the man wrote, okay? That's all I'm doing. But it confirms that there were some redfish in Turtle Bay, so.
Yes. That's good.
That is good.
Means I'm not too full of crap.
Not this time. All right, so we got some redfish, we got some snook. Anything else going on in there?
Nothing.
Okay. And, you know, after I give that glowing report on my class, I have no idea when the next class is going to be. You know, we're doing one in the summer that we don't usually do. I just did the fourth session. It's a six-session class. But with the things that I've got planned for later on this year, I don't know if I'm going to have the time to do my October class like I usually do. And even when we get to January, I don't know if I'm going to have the opportunity to do double classes, single classes, what exactly I'm going to be able to fit in. So don't think I'm just trying to sell classes over here. I thought it was nice that I was able to help somebody go catch some fish. That's
right.
All right. Let's take it out into open water with the Cape Hayes and Danger Reef report.
Some Spanish mackerel. And he was between Danger Reef and Three Sisters. He was kind of trolling through that whole area. He said there was a bunch of thread fins and little bait fish and kept seeing them skyrocket. He got bit off by a couple sharks. And I think he said he landed like six or seven Spanish mackerel.
Okay. Not tightly schooled, just scattered?
Yeah, and he got also a couple trout and a couple ladyfish. But he was in anywhere. He was zigzagging, just following the bait. So he was up in as shallow as 4 feet of water and as deep as 12 feet of water while he was just kind of working the area. But his grandkids were here and he wanted them to catch some fish.
Yeah, and trolling around bait schools is always a good idea. What was he dragging?
A spoon, a gotcha, and he was also just throwing out shrimp under a bobber.
And there we go.
And he caught fish on each one of those.
It's called hedging your bets.
Yep.
See which one they like. I dig it.
Oh, he did catch a sugar trout. What's that, sand perch?
Okay, so...
That was on a shrimp on the bottom, because he was screwing around with that out there.
Was it a sugar trout or was it a sand trout?
I call them sugar trout. Those little guys that look like a little croaker.
Okay. So the fat-bodied one?
Yeah.
That doesn't have the teeth?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Sugar trout. I only ask because there's been a lot of sand sea trout out there in some spots.
Right.
And a lot of people, because they don't have spots, just lump them all in as sugar trout. But if it's got the teeth, if it's got the yellow mouth and the same teeth like a spotted sea trout, it's probably a sand sea trout. And if it doesn't have the teeth and it's a little bit higher bodied, then that's a sugar trout or a sand perch. Sand perch? Silver perch.
Silver perch.
Because a sand perch is what most people call a squirrel fish.
Right. Too many names.
I think the Latin name is Bairdiella chrysiura. Does that help?
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't help.
No. Nope.
Okay. Gasparilla sound. What do we have from Gasparilla Sound, Robert?
Why are most of the rattlesnakes crotalids except for a few are cymus?
Cymus?
Isn't that the Massasauga?
I'd have to go look that. So the only cymus that I can think of off the top of my head is Heterodon cymus, which is the hognose, eastern hognose. So let's look up eastern Massasauga. I know, you guys didn't sign up for this. You're trying to get a... Okay, so that's Cestrurus.
Cestrurus
would be the same genus that the pygmy rattlesnakes are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at Cestrurus and see what it can tell us about the relationship to other crotalids. So they are both in the subfamily Crotalinae, and Crotalinae has 23 different genera in it. So let's see.
No, I know there's a bunch of different ones that just confuse me. Of
Agkistrodon, which is the copperhead and cottonmouth, Bothrops, you're familiar with those. Crotalus, Cestrurus, Lachesis, which is the Bushmasters. Porthidium, the hognose pit vipers.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Trimeresurus, really? I didn't think Trimeresurus was that closely related to rattlesnakes. That would be the temple viper types.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So that would be the difference, is that they're... It's kind of like when you look at the various cichlids, you know how everything was in Cyclosoma for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
And you got used to those as the Latin names, and then they started splitting them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's now the Mayan cichlid, for example, is Mayaheros, and there's a bunch of different genera that go along with that. It's because they determined that they're not as closely related as they originally thought they were. So even though the relationship between Cestrurus and Crotalus is probably closer than the relationship between Cestrurus and, say, Trimeresurus, then they still put them into the same categorization as different genera within this larger group, within the subfamily. It's because we have this insistence on categorizing everything, and nature doesn't like to be categorized. You can have two different genera that are closely related because one split off from the other. They're still too distantly related to be the same genus or the same species, but they're not as distantly related as other things. But because we only have so many different subcategories that you can put it in, we put them into groups like this. And you end up with things that are more closely related or more distantly related, and yet if you look at just the categories, you'd say, oh, okay, well, these are all equally related to one another. And frequently they're not. And frequently we are changing it now with DNA studies and determining what's more closely related and what's not. So, you know, biology's messy. That's why.
Yeah.
Does that work for you?
Yep.
Okay. Where were we?
Lost.
Gasparilla Sound, I think, is where we were.
Yes.
Okay.
So in 6 to 8 feet of water, Spanish, ladyfish, trout, a few sharks, even people seeing some tarpon rolling around through there.
Okay.
And then up there in the Widden Creek and Catfish Creek area, around Sandfly, basically. Redfish, snook, ladyfish. Even some juvenile tarpon. A couple of the fly guys have been having fun on those juvenile tarpon that have been in there. And they're like 10 to 40 pounders.
Any chance you can catch one on something that isn't a fly?
Yeah, probably a small lure. Maybe a peewee shrimp.
You finally found a use for them.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you cast that peewee shrimp, Robert?
Water-fillable bobber.
A what now?
Casting bubble. A water-fillable bobber.
All right, how does that work?
You fill it up with water and you cast it.
You make it sound so complicated.
It's a bobber that has a stem in it. You open the stem up, let water into it, adds weight to it, but yet it's transparent. So when you cast it, it disappears into the water. And it's neutrally buoyant, so it's just hiding right underneath the surface, floating around. And as long as a sea turtle doesn't swim along, it'll be perfectly fine.
Right, because the sea turtle's mistaken for jellyfish. Mm-hmm. The problem with that water-filled casting bubble is it does make a little bit of noise it when does. It hits. And if you don't fill it all the way and you have a little bit of air left in it, it still will act as a float.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want it to truly be neutrally buoyant, you got to fill that thing up all the way with the water.
Mm-hmm.
But once you figure out working with them, they actually are multi-use devices. And that's the big helpful thing, is that they'll help you cast something that's way too light otherwise, like a little peewee shrimp. Or, if you're not getting them on the peewee shrimp, we just told you the tarpon have been taking small flies, try fishing some of those. Because you can throw those with a spinning rod if you use a water-filled casting bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Placita area? Pier, trestle?
Sharks. Bonnet heads, black tips, black nose, a couple of bull sharks.
That's all the sharks, isn't it?
Pretty much. Mangrove snapper. There's been quite a few tarpon hodgepodge throughout that whole area.
Yeah, we saw some in the pass last Sunday. We did not want to fish them because, you know, it's a pretty narrow pass.
Mm-hmm.
And there were already half a dozen boats fishing them, and they were making navigation through there difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really want to be a part of the problem.
Right. Yeah, and that's about all I got in that area.
Okay, where have the mangrove snapper been?
Up along the trestle.
Still any size to them, or?
They're getting smaller. Surprisingly, nobody's been fishing there at night, because I think that's when those bigger ones would cooperate better.
Well, it's really far away from any boat ramp, so.
Yeah.
See why people wouldn't want to go so far out into the field in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's well lit down there or anything.
Right.
Lemon Bay, what do we know?
Redfish under the docks. And then some redfish and trout over there by, what is it, Indian Mounds Park?
Yes, it is.
He put in there and he got some redfish. He put in his kayak. And he got several redfish, several trout, a couple ladyfish. I think he said one snook or something like that, but he was happy with the redfish.
I'll bet he was. If you were fishing under the docks for those reds, what would you be using?
Shrimp, cut ladyfish, or just a plain old paddle tail.
Okay. A plain paddle tail or a well-scented one?
Well-scented paddle tail.
Okay. Do you like the gulps?
Color of your choice, not really. I'm not a big fan of gulp.
Because it doesn't catch fish, or?
No. I've never had huge success with it, so I've never given it a ton of effort.
Okay.
I like that Rage Swimmer or the Saltwater Assassin that's a copy of the Rage Swimmer. I like that good vibration of the body and the tail.
That's the one that is,
completely ribbed.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah, and that does make a difference in the sound of it going through the water, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I like Mark Nichols stuff, DOA stuff, but I've never been loyal to anyone's plastic brand.
The Saltwater Assassin, does it have a real thin piece where the tail attaches to the body the way the Rage Swimmer does?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, that can help too. If you're trying to make the maximum amount of sound out of a soft plastic bait, then the weaker the attachment of the tail, the better it can move back and forth, the more it can vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
So that produces a lower pitched sound, and lower pitched sounds carry farther.
Yes.
As anybody who has kids cruising the neighborhood at 1 a.m. with their bass on can tell you.
Yes.
I used to be that kid.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yep. Nobody liked me then.
Nobody liked me much either then. That's okay.
Yeah.
We did just fine.
We grew out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not nearly as much of asses as we were back then.
Yep.
Most days. Gulf of American Mexicans, bottom fishing and trolling reefs and wrecks.
Really, the main thing I've heard about is 150 to 175 feet of water for red snapper, a few red grouper, and some porgies, and some mangrove snapper.
Okay.
I didn't hear any good reports in closer than that. I know they're catching lanes. I know they would be catching lanes out there and mangroves, but they're spawning, so it's, I know there's going to be hit or miss spots. But so many people are hyper-focused on red snapper, and the weather's been kind of nice other than the few really sketchy early morning thunderstorms or late evening thunderstorms, but the middle of the day has been decent.
Yeah. Well, and I get that. I mean, you know, if they want to go red snapper fishing, that's cool. Doesn't bother me a bit.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Just limits the near shore reports.
It does. Let's talk about the Venice jetties and the Venice pier. What do we got going on down that way?
Snook. Lots of snook. Whiting. Couple of pompano. And some Spanish mackerel.
So let's talk a little bit about those snook. Is this a nighttime thing? Is it an all-day thing? What are we
looking
at? They're
catching a lot of little guys during the daytime, but if you want to try to hook a bigger snook, it's definitely a night. But a guy was in here yesterday buying some fiddler crabs with his kid because they were going to go this morning because they were out there last Saturday, and him and his kids caught 15 snook on fiddler crabs.
Yeah.
Along the jetty.
Yeah. You know, everybody thinks that those things are just for sheep's head, but they're for anything that eats crabs.
Mm-hmm.
And snook love crabs.
Yeah.
When they did a study of snook living up the rivers several years ago, the main food source that they were using was crayfish.
Crayfish and hoblo.
Yeah. And, yeah, they like hoblo catfish. Now, part of that is probably due to the fact that, yeah, crayfish and hoblos being very bony or having thicker shells take a little bit longer to digest. But still, you know, when 65 something like that percent of what you're finding in snook stomachs is crayfish, you know, it tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
That they really like to eat that kind of food. So,
yeah.
And if they're eating crayfish, then of course they'll eat crabs. Who cares if they pinch?
Yep.
Doesn't make any difference.
Nope. But you gotta take the claws on them so they'll eat them.
Yeah, you gotta.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. Punarasa?
I got nothing.
Redfish pass?
Snook.
Okay.
Snook and the guy did catch one redfish down there while he was snook fishing. And he was just drifting the pass there.
What was he dropping down?
Thread fins.
Fishing the bottom?
Drifting them. He's just using live thread fins and just pitching them there and just...
Just free lined out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He says he fishes there two times every year, usually right around the new moon and the full moon in June, because that's when he caught his biggest snook of his life, which was 44 or 45 inches 10 years ago.
That's a big snook.
Yeah.
He
likes to go down there and try to recreate that, but he just says the fun of it is just doing it, the challenge of it.
Cool. Do we have anything for Captiva Pass?
Yes. Snook, mangrove snapper, some Spanish mackerel. There's been a few tarpon right there in around the pass area. And a few sharks.
Okay.
One guy said a school count, the leopard rays came through. He said they were little guys. He said they were probably about 24 inches across. He said there's like 10 or 12 of them.
Oh, that's awesome. Alrighty. Bring us to Boca Grand Pass.
Tarpon. That's it.
Now, the tarpon have been weird here. We've
yep.
been talking about that happening for the last couple weeks. Tell me what they're doing in there now.
They're starting to get a little bit more consistent the last couple of days, but they're primarily feeding still on crabs in there, but they are starting to switch over to the squirrel fish and thread fins and pinfish.
Okay.
And they've been moving up onto the hill in the mid to late morning. And then coming up, you know, I think, what was the new moon yesterday or day before yesterday, I think?
I'd have to look at my calendar.
I think it was the day before yesterday. You know, there's been some crabs flushing out in the afternoon, so some of the tarpon have been feeding on those pretty good. But the tarpon have just not been super consistent in there.
All right, so they've been sitting on the hill when?
Later in the morning, 10, 11, 12 o'clock.
Okay. And then feeding in the pass in the evening.
Yep.
Okay.
And the floating bait shack, I think he said he's going to be out there until the weekend after 4th of July, and then he's packing it up.
Okay. He told me when we talked to him on Sunday that he was staying until the beginning of August.
Okay. So. Any change of mind since then?
It could go either way.
Yeah.
So.
I know last year he ended up staying until the 1st of August.
Yeah.
Maybe he just tells people that to get them prepared for it.
Maybe. And then he just leaves when he leaves.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Never know.
Well, when he's not there,
yep.
Guess what? He's probably not there anymore.
Yeah.
So.
He's had enough fun.
All right. Let's talk about the beach fishing. What's happening in the surf anywhere between Sanibel and Venice?
Snook. Lots and lots of snook cruising the beaches. Some of the really early risers have hooked a couple of redfish and jacks along with the snook. Had one guy get a pompano, a bunch of bonnethead sharks at Blind Pass. And, I mean, little guys, like fresh hatchlings, like 12, 14 inches all the way up to 30 inches.
Okay.
Like, I had probably about 5 different people tell me about the bonnetheads I caught over there.
Let's use the word neonate and see if anybody knows what it means.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Great.
Well, listen, if people aren't going to hear the report so that we can mess with them that way, then I got to mess with the people who are reading it, too, at least a little bit.
There you go. Okay.
Where did you say our neonate bonnetheads were?
Blind pass Park.
Okay. Okay. Snook, redfish, bonnethead sharks. Did you say jacks, too?
Jacks, yeah.
I think you said jacks. Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Whiting?
Yes.
Shrimp, small bucktails?
Definitely shrimp. Just all these guys are throwing shrimp. I don't know anyone who's been throwing artificials or mentioned artificials. The one guy was using nothing but frozen shrimp with his grandkids and his son.
Okay.
He didn't want a lug of bait bucket.
I don't blame him.
Frozen shrimp.
Don't blame him even the tiniest little bit. All right, bring it back in. Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay, associated areas.
I got nothing from down there this week.
How about Pine Island Sound?
Trout out in the 6-7 feet of water range. Some tarpon. Same depth of water, same areas.
Okay.
There's been some redfish up along the shoreline right there around Patricio and Yuseppa. Basically that whole area. And trying to remember what Danny told me that he was getting down there too. One of his customers got, I think it was a 25 or 26 inch trout.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think it was 25 or 26. I can't remember. I know it like... He was, like, one of the nicer trout he's seen in quite a while.
Okay. Let's move on. Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Got nothing.
Okay, then let's move on again. Burnt Store and Two Pines.
Nothing.
Okay. One more time. East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
Right around Pirate Harbor, they're getting some snook, quite a few redfish. And the juvenile tarpon have been doing good inside Pirate Harbor, but also just to the north of Pirate Harbor. On artificials, what's his name? Tom. He's part of the Bernstorr Fishing Club. He said his neighbor hooked several tarpon on paddle tails and one on a topwater. And then I believe it was Wendy the other day that was out with them. She hooked a big tarpon, like 40-pounder.
Okay.
Put it in the air, if I remember right, with what they told me the other day.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. All right. That brings us to Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, the skating rink, and associated areas.
Nothing.
Then Ponce de Leon Park.
Poachers.
Okay. What did we say to the FWC last week? Get in there and do your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, do you think we were kidding?
There was some guy that was keeping literally every mangrove snapper he caught. And then the icing on the cake was when he caught about a 24-inch snook and threw it in his cooler and then left.
Yeah, of course.
So he does know he's breaking the law, so he wasn't even just uneducated. But I had a customer complaining about that. But I've had several people a week tell me about the undersized fish being taken out of there.
And you can dial pound FWC on your phone and report them.
Yes. But you could also call the non-emergency number to the Punta-Gorda PD.
Yeah, you can call PGPD, see if they can send somebody down there.
Yep. Just make sure it's a non-emergency number.
Don't call 911 over a snook, please.
No. Bad idea.
Not a good way to make friends.
Mm-mm.
Not a good way to get somebody sent, either.
Right.
PGI canals and general area.
Black drum. Quite a few people catching some black drum. Some.
What have they been eating?
The crabs and frozen shrimp.
Okay.
And then the couple guys have been catching the spade fish and an oddball sheep's head.
I talked with an angler who said they could not get the sheep's head to cooperate on anything down there. They tried fiddler crabs, they tried live shrimp, they tried peeled shrimp. They just weren't taking anything.
Nice. That's not good. That's what they do.
Exactly. They're fish. Fish do what fish do. All right. Black drum, spade fish, sheep's head. Anything else? Jacks?
I haven't heard of any jacks.
Bull sharks?
Nope.
Coelacanth?
Nope. Or fish?
No or fish either.
Okay.
No basking sharks. Okay. Gilchrist Pier doesn't exist. Alligator Creek Reef?
A couple Spanish mackerel, and one guy hooked the biggest tarpon he's ever hooked in his life.
Which, depending on how many tarpon he's caught, could be anywhere between.
He's caught quite a few. He guessed it to be 180 to 220 pounds. His personal biggest is 160. And he said this one, like, dwarfed it. He was sitting there with his son and his cousin or somebody that was down visiting. And they had a cut mullet out trying for some sharks and playing around with the chum bag and trying to catch some of the mangrove snapper that were not cooperating very well. He said a bunch of them came up in the chum, but he couldn't get them to hit worth a darn, even when he dropped down to 15-pound. But then he got smoked by that fish. He said it was cool because it greyhounded like 3 times and then came launching straight out of the water, and then there goes the chunk mullet.
Cool.
But he said it was really cool for about 30 seconds.
The best 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs the rest of it?
Right?
The rest of it's just annoying.
You say so.
I do say so. It's
okay.
It's the best part. The 20-foot holes.
I got nothing in there.
Okay, well then let's not put anything. That will bring us to the baitfish reports. White bait, but also threadies, pinfish, sardines, squirrelies, anything else that you might care to use as bait.
Thread fins and white bait mixed together from the 41 bridge down to marker 2. And then there's definitely more white bait down towards devilfish.
Okay.
And that's really about all I've heard.
Well, you heard about Menhaden.
Well, the Menhaden, yeah, but they just don't do well. And they're only out there at night. There are threadies out there, too. There's some bigger threadies down there by Devilfish. There's been some bigger threadies over there, kind of between Burnt Store and Boquilla. And then some threadies out on the beach.
Okay. No word on pinfish, squirrelies, anything else?
Nothing.
Okay. I'll take what you got. I'm happy with it. Okay. The freshwater report.
I got nothing.
We still have dink shiners, I tell you that much.
Yep.
So. Get you some soft plastic worms.
Yep.
Go fishing anyway. And the tarpon reports.
Pretty much the identical map you had last week, except for there are definitely a lot more fish on the beach.
Okay, so let's see. The map last week, we didn't have any red dots. You wouldn't let me put any in there. So do we have any red dots for this week?
I would do the beach, and that's it.
Okay, well, hold on. That means a whole new map. I gotta go get it.
Jeez.
I assumed you weren't going to change anything. It's my fault for making an assumption. I readily admit that. I screwed up. I do that from time to time. Robert can't be blamed this time. It's all me. It's just...
Whatever you say.
Let's just copy that. Hold on. This thing's being a real pain about it. Why won't it let me do the thing here? Please hold. Okay, there we go with that. Hold on. I don't know why this thing gets so fussy about it.
What's
the date? 6/28/25. I really should have saved some time and had this open. I wasn't thinking. I apologize, Robert.
Yes.
All right. Now we've got it. Red dots. Where do I put them?
From Sanibel all the way up to Venice.
Out off the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from Sanibel. Ba-doom, 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 all the way up to Venice. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Boca Grand Pass gets?
It's a toss-up between the red and the, what is it, the yellow?
I'm going to put an orange dot.
Orange dot?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we're putting an orange dot on the inside. Up by the hill, mm-hmm. And then an orange dot in the pass itself. Okay, where can I put a yellow dot?
From Gasparilla Pass down to Captiva Pass on the inside.
Gasparilla Pass down to Captiva Pass. Okay. Yellow dots, yes. And where can I put a white dot?
Nowhere.
No white dots anywhere.
Nope.
I'm going to put a white dot right here at Alligator Creek Reef.
Oh, okay, because of the one fish that was hooked.
One fish.
Okay.
So, yep. Put it right there at Alligator Creek Reef. I hope that doesn't mess with anybody too bad. Okay. Great. We will use that as our tarpon map for this week. So, we probably should make a different report here. Fish have been out off the beaches. Okay. And you said earlier they were eating crabs, but also bait fish?
Yeah, out on the beach are definitely wrecking the thread fins and crabs both.
Okay. Not shrimp, though?
Nope.
In the pass?
Mostly crabs. A couple guys have hooked them on threadies on the hill. But pretty much all crabs.
Okay. They may take threadies better on the hill.
Yep.
Okay. And your crystal ball for the tarpon? Do you have any prediction here?
No.
About how you think that's going to go?
Nope.
Nothing?
I got nothing.
Okay.
Not for another couple days after this moon goes through.
All right. Well, that reaches us to the end of where this fishing report goes until. Do you have any final words of wisdom to leave us with?
I do not.
Nothing to keep us going until next week? Nothing at all?
Enjoy some of these really cool lightning storms and sunsets that have been coming with all these late afternoon storms lately. Enjoy some of those moments.
I knew you had something. I knew you had to.
That's what I would do. That's what we do.
All right. Loving it. Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.